This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Massacre in Indy. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. On this Friday, April 16, thanks for joining us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
At least 8 people have been killed and several others wounded after a gunman opened fire at a FedEx building in Indianapolis.
The CEO of Pfizer says it's likely that people who receive a COVID vaccine will need booster shots within a year and then annual vaccinations.
On the business front, strong earnings reports and upbeat economic data send stocks to record highs.
And tips for young investors considering a jump into Coinbase.
Any sort of investment in an IPO is always a risky endeavor. In the public markets, at least, it's an untested commodity. It's volatile, and that's especially so when we're talking about cryptocurrency.
Andy Keshner at MarketWatch on investing in stocks like Coinbase or cryptocurrency. There's been another mass shooting, this one at a FedEx warehouse in Indianapolis. At least 8 people were killed last night, and it appears the gunman took his own life. Several others were injured and taken to hospitals in the area. The FedEx facility where the shooting occurred is on the city's southwest side near the airport. Officers responded to a report of shots fired at around 11 p.m. and found an active shooter at the scene. Ian Johnston's wife is an employee at that building.
She texted me to tell me there was an active shooter, and we communicated back and forth for a while. She since notified me she's okay.
Police have advised anyone concerned about the safety of someone inside the facility to go to the Hilton Garden Inn, Indianapolis Airport. There's been a spate of mass shootings across the U.S. lately. 8 people in massage parlors in the Atlanta area, 10 people in a Colorado grocery store, 4 at a real estate office in Southern California, and 5 at a home in Rock Hill, South Carolina. Officials have released videos of a Chicago police officer fatally shooting 13-year-old Adam Toledo after a foot chase in an alley. The boy was killed around 2:30 a.m. on Monday, March 29, as police responded to reports of shots fired in the area. The Chicago Sun-Times says the officer's body cam video does not show the teen throwing away a gun, and the boy does not appear to be holding a weapon in his raised hands. But another video shows him apparently throwing something through a gap in a fence to the other side, and a video shows an officer finding a handgun there. Adina Weiss-Ortiz is the attorney for the victim's family.
The family, counsels for the family, we do not want to compound this tragedy by inflaming emotions or inciting violence.
The officer involved was identified yesterday as Eric Stillman. He's been placed on administrative leave. Police charged 21-year-old Ruben Roman, who authorities said was walking with the teenager when police responded to the call of shots fired, with felony reckless discharge of a firearm, among other things. Both sides in the murder trial of former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin have rested their case. Yesterday, prosecutors and the defense questioned the final witnesses. Closing arguments will begin Monday. Mr. Chauvin exercised his Fifth Amendment right not to incriminate himself regarding the death of George Floyd 11 months ago. Mr. Chauvin has pleaded not guilty to second and third degree murder and manslaughter. Mr. Chauvin was interviewed by his attorney, Eric Nelson, outside the presence of the jury.
Have you made a decision today whether you intend to testify or whether you intend to invoke your Fifth Amendment privilege?
I will invoke my Fifth Amendment privilege today.
Prosecutors say Mr. Floyd's death was caused by Mr. Chauvin kneeling on his neck and back for more than 9 minutes while he was handcuffed and face down. The defense says Mr. Chauvin followed professional standards and that Mr. Floyd died from a fentanyl overdose and a pre-existing heart condition. Coming up next, encouraging economic news. When you call a Dell Technologies advisor, you're talking to someone who isn't waiting for their turn to speak, but who actually wants to hear what you have to say. They're focused on you, ready to give advice on everything from laptops to the cloud, and offer tailored solutions powered by Intel vPro platform to keep your small business ready for what's next. Our advisors listen, so you know your small business needs have been heard. Call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Friday. Some encouraging economic data is emerging. Retail sales shot up 9.8% last month, thanks in part to government stimulus checks and states easing pandemic restrictions. In addition, first-time claims for unemployment benefits tumbled to 576,000, still historically high, but far below the 769,000 from last month. In-depth analysis from Rick Newman, senior columnist at Yahoo Finance. Rick, how do you see it?
Now, economists have been looking at the internal data for the last few weeks and saying there is a boom coming, and I think this is the boom. I think the stars are sort of aligning in a way that is good for the economy, good for consumers. So big jump in retail sales, almost a 10% increase month-to-month in the latest numbers. That probably has a lot to do with stimulus checks hitting people's bank accounts. They're saving a lot of that, but they're also spending some of it. And so that was part of the contribution. And a much lower number than expected for jobless claims. That is in line with a job market recovery, which we have seen some hints of, and now we're seeing much stronger signs. So this is probably not illusory. This is not a one-time thing. There are many reasons to think that we're going to see increased spending for the next several months, perhaps the rest of the year, as people come out of lockdown, as vaccinations spread across the country, and we get back to normal. So I think these are all encouraging signs that we are walking. Perhaps we're not limping anymore. Perhaps we're walking back to something that feels like a normal economy.
Okay. So 1 month of data, obviously, does not a trend make. And you referenced stimulus checks. I mean, I don't know how much of these numbers are being masked by that.
Well, people are, I think what people are doing with the stimulus checks for the most part is the right thing. I think that some people are spending them to buy game stock on on trading apps, on Robinhood and trading apps, but not most people. People are using that to pay down debt. They're putting some of it in the bank, and that tells us that spending ought to stay strong. We also know that Americans have saved an incredible amount of money during the last year for a couple of reasons. First of all, there hasn't been a lot to spend it on because as much of the service economy has been shut down, money that people would have spent on restaurant meals and traveling, that's just gone in the bank. And we have just seen a surge in savings. And I think there's a really strong degree of pent-up demand. I mean, people want to travel. People want to go back out. The labor market has recovered and held up better than a lot of economists expected when this downturn first hit about a year ago. We saw those terrible numbers in job losses in March and April of last year, and then a huge recovery in May, and then it flatlined. And now we're sort of seeing the second leg up in this recovery. So I like to be pretty skeptical, Gordon, but I think this is all pretty encouraging.
Yeah. We're speaking with Rick Newman, senior columnist at Yahoo Finance. Vaccination rates, I presume, are playing some sort of role in all this. We're more comfortable going out. Obviously, government restrictions are being lifted at places like restaurants.
Yep, we're seeing capacity is going up in places that do have restrictions. We all know this is the pathway to reopening the parts of the economy that have been shut down for much of the last year. Also, airline travel. We're seeing the airlines starting to add routes because demand is picking up there. Another interesting thing is look what's happening in the auto market. Automakers cannot make enough cars for everybody who wants one. Part of that is this problem with a semiconductor shortage, a chip shortage.
Yeah.
That has interfered with production. But sales are still very strong. So people, I think there's a confidence factor here, too, we should talk about. Everybody's fed up being stuck at home. And I think the vaccines are finally giving people not just a reason to be able to go back and spend money and do things they want to do, but also the confidence that maybe it's safer. You know, if you feel vaccinated, if you are vaccinated, you feel safer yourself. You know, your family gets vaccinated. There's a confidence factor there.
Thanks, Rick. Rick Newman, senior columnist at Yahoo Finance. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
At least 8 people were shot and killed at a FedEx facility near the Indianapolis airport last night, and multiple others have injuries. Metropolitan Police Department spokesperson Janae Cook says the alleged shooter is also dead.
Preliminary information at this time is that the shooter has taken his own life. We don't feel that there is an active threat to the community at this time.
Officers responded to a report of shots fired around 11 p.m. and found an active shooter at the scene.
Number two.
The former Brooklyn Center police officer charged with second-degree manslaughter in the shooting of 20-year-old Dante Wright made her first court appearance yesterday. Kim Potter appeared virtually briefly for a largely procedural hearing. Meanwhile, at a news conference, Wright's mother, Katie, said she feels like she'll never get justice for her son as she called for accountability to the highest level.
Number three.
President Biden says the U.S. is expelling 10 Russian diplomats and imposing sanctions against several dozen people and companies, holding the Kremlin accountable for interference in last year's presidential election and the hacking of federal agencies.
We want a stable, predictable relationship. If Russia continues to interfere with our democracy, I'm prepared to take further actions to respond.
The measures are meant to deter future acts by imposing economic costs on Moscow, including by targeting its ability to borrow money. Pfizer CEO Albert Bourla says those who completed the two-dose regimen for the company's COVID vaccine will likely need a third shot within 12 months. There's also a chance people will need to receive an annual vaccine thereafter. Pfizer recently announced data indicating its vaccine was highly effective up to 6 months after the second dose. The head of the Tokyo Olympics today was again forced to reassure the world that the postponed games will open in just over 3 months and not be canceled despite surging COVID-19 cases in Japan. The official was asked at a news conference if there were any conditions under which the Olympics would be canceled. The questions came after the general secretary of the ruling political party raised that possibility yesterday. The Olympic official notes there are a variety of concerns, but the organizing committee is not thinking about canceling the games.
Okay. That's what you say. Thanks, Jen. With Mother's Day coming up, I wanted to remind you about paintyourlife.com. If you're looking for a truly meaningful gift, they did one for me that my wife loves. A professional hand-painted portrait of our kids, one of our favorite photos, that Paint Your Life turned into a real work of art. I chose a world-class artist and worked with them to make sure everything was just right. It takes 5 minutes to order, and in about 3 weeks, you'll have a gift she'll cherish forever. I love their stuff. At paintyourlife.com, there's no risk. If you don't love the final painting, your money's fully refunded, guaranteed. And right now, as a limited time offer, get 20% off. That's right, 20% off your painting and free shipping. Just text the word DEAL to 64,000. That's DEAL to 64,000. Paint your life. Celebrate the moments that matter most. Text the word DEAL again to 64,000. Terms apply. Available at paintyourlife.com/terms. Again, text DEAL to 64,000. There's investing with play money, and then there's playing with fire. With Coinbase, the cryptocurrency exchange that just went public, financial advisors want you to remember the difference. MarketWatch reporter Andrew Keschner says with more retail investors on the scene, there's growing allure in finding and profiting off the next new thing. Andy, explain.
Any sort of investment in an IPO is always a risky endeavor. In the public markets, at least, it's an untested commodity. It's volatile. And that's especially so when we're talking about cryptocurrency. But what these advisors are saying is, listen, if you want to throw money in this, and I understand why, and you know you can't stop you from people from making their investments.
Right.
At least there's a smart way to go about it, and so they give some rules of thumb on how to what to think about play money, quote unquote.
Do financial advisors generally not like IPOs for young investors, or that's not necessarily the rule?
I think generally. The view is that an IPO, when you're investing in an IPO, it's risky, it's speculative, and it's not for the faint of heart. And so, that could be, that could be an older person as well who has zero risk tolerance. But it's really sort of thinking about how much money to set aside if you want to go down this road of risky bets on new companies.
Yeah. The general theme here is be prepared to have a certain amount of your money potentially evaporate. I think the range was like 1% or 10%. Can you stomach that if you're going to go risky?
Exactly. It's right. It's what money are you okay seeing go up in smoke and go to money heaven? That range really varies from the investors I talked to, as you said, from 1% all the way up to 10%. 10% seem to be the way, way top. And this is 10% of investable assets. I think that really kind of varied on the philosophies and approaches of the advisors, but it also depends on the philosophies and approaches of the investor themselves who want to do it.
Yeah.
I did hear in a couple places that just in the name of diversification, you wouldn't want to be more than 5% in any one company. It's that range, but really up to 10% was the number I heard as the maximum.
We're speaking with Andrew Keschner, personal finance reporter at MarketWatch. His story is called "How Much Money Should I Spend on Coinbase Stock?" What was the guy who talked about the no numbers approach?
So he was saying, kind of work backward. Think about that big financial goal or goals that you have in your life. Maybe it's a comfortable retirement. It's a hefty down payment on a new house, a boat, so on and so forth. Think about how much that's going to cost you. And then think about how much wiggle room you have based on the money that you make now or you're planning to make that you can afford to set aside a little bit of, again, play money, put into something like Coinbase.
Andy Keschner at MarketWatch. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Innovation. Resilience. Agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
We don't take sides. We deliver the information you need to start your day. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Friday, April 16. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. 8 killed in a shooting at a FedEx facility in Indianapolis. Both sides rest in the Derek Chauvin trial. A day after releasing undercover CNN video, Twitter banned Project Veritas founder James O'Keefe, saying he was operating multiple accounts in an unsanctioned way. More record highs for the Dow and S&P 500. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says the court-packing proposal by fellow Democrats will not get a vote. And the man with Parkinson's disease determined to hike the Appalachian Trail. That story in about 20 minutes. It's time for a business update. And it's brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. The businesses of the future are being built today, and Michigan is where they start. Learn more by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity. Recently, more than 100 top executives and corporate leaders gathered online to discuss their response to what they see as restrictive voting laws under consideration in several states and already enacted in Georgia. Why are CEOs suddenly taking sides on political issues, and is it good for business? In-depth analysis from Adam Razzieri, Chief Marketing Officer at Agency Partner Interactive in Dallas. Adam, your take.
Well, it is an interesting trend. And the observation here is that this group of about 120 to 200 high-ranking, powerful business leaders, they are really kind of coalescing and trying to speak on behalf of some of the largest organizations in the world. We know that these are obviously business leaders that answer to a board. And certainly they are responsible for maintaining, just great, great stock prices for the most part. They're the ones that have to answer to those quarterly earnings calls. So in a nutshell, I think a lot of these guys are reacting to outside pressures, pressures from social media to to make a statement on things that, frankly, they could have had an influence on during the actual writing of this legislation. The thing that I take away from just observing the market and looking at some of the data that's out there is, you know, based on just a 2016 Gallup survey, it showed 80% of Americans are in favor of voter ID. So what we're kind of seeing from some of the new legislation that's being written is obviously a move towards that. There's obviously very wide consensus for the fact that Americans want access to voting. Voting should be very easy, but it should also be difficult to cheat. And I believe, you know, what we're kind of seeing from this legislation are sort of moves towards that. But the interesting thing is we're seeing obviously a lot of disapproval for what's happening here. Now, does this disapproval represent the consistency of these organizations that are making these statements? This is a hard one, because when you look at Delta Airlines, for example, you have a CEO who makes literally $67,000 per day, and he's speaking on behalf of an employee base of 50,000 people who on average earn about $35,000 per year. So these leaders that are making these statements live very different realities from the people they're trying to speak for.
But where's this generally coming from? So you reference this as coming from the boards of directors at times, but is it what customers are demanding? You reference social media, but does that mean customers demand this of these companies?
Yes and no, right? I mean, obviously we're a pretty divided country right now. And so both customers and employees certainly will have perspectives that support arguments on both sides of the fence. Now, with that being said, there's a difference between the way I think big organizations respond to issues like this and the way smaller organizations respond to issues like this. It's very difficult for an enterprise that consists of, you know, Delta Airlines, it's 50,000 employees. How does one person reflect the diverse viewpoints of their entire employee base? It's just not possible. Whereas you might look at a small business of maybe 20 employees, it's much more realistic to say that a business leader could represent the viewpoints of that smaller company, right? So where is this coming, though? There was, in a nutshell, there were 10 progressive groups that coalesced the day after SB 202 passed in Georgia. As soon as they kind of got together, they basically pulled up their financial resources and basically kicked off a really strong marketing effort to spark a response from these business leaders. And in a nutshell, they were trying to get these business leaders to basically weigh in on the discussion. And the timing, though, is very off. Where were these messages, where were these statements last month or just a few weeks ago? It just wasn't there. So, you know, in some ways, we're kind of seeing this you might say too little too late sort of discussion. But with that being said, is it really the place of an enterprise CEO to speak on behalf of 50,000 people? This guy's not elected to do that.
Right, right. We're speaking with Adam Ruzzieri, Chief Marketing Officer at Agency Partner Interactive in Dallas. We're talking about companies taking on political issues and whether or not it's good for business. Is there any evidence that this improves a company's reputation and or sales?
You know, looking at these larger organizations, right now there's really not. The ones that are hurt by this are the small businesses.
Nice, Adam. Adam Ruzzieri, Chief Marketing Officer at Agency Partner Interactive in Dallas. As a business owner, you eventually realize you can't do everything yourself, but hiring is complicated. And what if you only need part-time help? Belay, an innovative staffing solution, has successfully matched thousands of businesses with part-time virtual assistants, bookkeepers, and social media strategists. Belay offers you a virtual support team that can transform your workday. Let Belay help you juggle less and accomplish more. Just go to Belay, B-E-L-A-Y, solutions.com/deal. That's BelaySolutions.com/deal.
Glad you're with us. This portion of the program is brought to you by Lightstream. Apply today for a fixed-rate credit card consolidation loan, and you could save thousands in interest. Go to Lightstream.com/deal. We'll have more on the mass shooting in Indianapolis in just a few moments. First, offices that shuttered during the COVID-19 pandemic are poised to reopen soon as vaccines roll out across the country. But many employees are not interested in returning to the same work environment that they left behind a year ago. Here to explain is Charisse Jones, national business correspondent at USA Today. Charisse, what are you hearing?
Yeah, you know, I think that the pandemic made so many things clear, especially the fact that there's so many benefits, so many services that working parents need, whether it's childcare, whether it's the ability to work remotely. And so now that we're starting to go back to the office, the pandemic is waning a bit, the vaccine is rolling out, people don't want the same old work environment that they left behind a year ago. You know, they want those kinds of benefits and resources. I mean, it's not just enough for an employer to, you know, offer a ping pong table or Taco Fridays. They want some meaningful assistance, yeah, you know, with their family. So that's something that this Bright Horizons survey really spelled out.
All right. So who's doing what on that front at this point that might be brand new following the pandemic?
Well, you know, you've got some companies. I spoke to one woman who works for Broad Institute in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and they established a temporary childcare facility just for the pandemic. But she's hoping that, you know, when the summertime, you know, when the kids are out of school again, they're going to be able to access a similar type of resource. So a lot of companies are now making these breaks in the middle of the workday where you don't have to take a meeting. The option of working from home, whether it's an emergency or just something that you really want to do, maybe you can relocate to a different city. You don't have to be in the office, so that's a possibility as well. A lot more companies are looking at doing those types of, you know, benefits and resources. About 6 in 10 workers say that they really want to be able to work from home once the pandemic is over, and about 46% say that they want to get that additional child care. And about 27 to 28%, which is really interesting, they don't want their kids to just be supervised. They want tutoring resources.
Wow.
They want, you know, help from the employer for their kid that's prepping for college. So they, you know, these are real deal breakers. You know, people have gotten used to something different. And if companies don't offer them, there's a chance that they're going to lose these recruits to other businesses.
Wow. Does it come down to the bigger the company, the more likely these resources are?
So I think it's the bigger the company, and I think it's also, I mean, we have to remember that there's a big divide in our society, right? So if you're a minimum wage worker in a warehouse or in a restaurant, I mean, you're still fighting to get better pay, you know, let alone the option to take off when your child is sick and to get paid for that time away or tutoring assistance. And so I think that there is that divide that's also being magnified and that's going to have to be addressed in the months to come.
We're speaking with Charisse Jones, national business correspondent at USA Today. Her piece is called "As COVID-19 Wanes, Employees Want More from Work, Including Childcare and Flexibility." What about that flexibility front here, Charisse?
Yeah, you know, a lot of people are saying that they want to be able to, you know, kind of alter their workday, right? So maybe they start earlier, they can take a break in the middle of the day to do other things that they need to do, and then they work later into the evening. I mean, because basically, you know, during the pandemic, we kind of lived at work, right?
Yeah.
We were working around the clock anyway. And so they found that, you know, being able to kind of adjust their work schedule to their life was really something that was important.
Thanks, Charisse. Charisse Jones, national business correspondent at USA Today. Coming up next, the latest on the mass shooting in Indianapolis. In the sport of business, we're all players. And with the game always changing, you need to be versatile. So does your wardrobe. You want both style and comfort to look as good as you feel inside the office or out. That's what Cuts Clothing is all about. Cuts Clothing keeps you sharp wherever the game takes you, from the boardroom to the bar to the gym. How? They reinvented men's clothing, starting with the t-shirt. Their Pika Tri-Blend fabric is buttery soft, wrinkle-free, and keeps its shape. Everything I've worn from Cuts is next-level comfort. Their polos, hoodies, and crew sweatshirts, all classics, made modern with custom-engineered fabrics you have to wear to believe. So versatile, you'll never need to take them off, and so comfortable, you won't want to. It's not just the lifestyle. It's not just clothing. It's office leisure apparel for the sport of business. Get 15% off your first order by going to cutsclothing.com/Gordon. That's cutsclothing.com/Gordon for 15% off the only shirt worth wearing. Thanks for spending time with us. Don't forget, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. You can follow me directly on Twitter as well, at Gordon Deal. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
At least 8 people were shot and killed in a late-night shooting at a FedEx facility in Indianapolis, and the shooter has killed himself. Multiple other people were injured last night when gunmen erupted at the facility near the Indianapolis International Airport. Police spokesperson Janae Cook.
We have multiple people with injuries consistent with gunshot wounds. We have others that have been transported to various hospitals throughout the area.
The shooter was not immediately identified.
Number two.
Disturbing body cam video released after public outcry over the Chicago police shooting of a 13-year-old boy shows the youth appearing to drop a handgun and begin raising his hands less than a second before an officer fires his gun and kills him. A still frame taken from Officer Eric Stillman's jumpy nighttime body camera footage shows that Adam Toledo wasn't holding anything and had his hands up when Stillman shot him once in the chest about 3 a.m. on March 29th. Police say the boy had a handgun on him. Footage shows a handgun on the ground near Toledo after he was shot.
Number three.
Former officer Derek Chauvin's trial in George Floyd's death will be in the jury's hands by early next week after his brief defense wrapped up with Chauvin passing on a chance to take the stand and tell the public for the first time what he was thinking when he pressed his knee against Floyd's neck. Judge Peter Cahill.
Members of the jury, the evidence is now complete for this case. Next step for you is to listen to closing arguments and then retire for deliberations. That'll occur on Monday.
Cahill reminded jurors they will be sequestered starting Monday. A group of moderate Senate Republicans is drafting a scaled-back infrastructure proposal, an opening salvo as they try to strike a deal with President Biden on a smaller package. The GOP lawmakers are poised to offer a bill somewhere around $650 billion. The senators are expected to introduce the counteroffer sometime during the May recess. Do we need a version of Instagram for kids? A group of public health advocates from around the world say no. The Campaign for a Commercial-Free Childhood is calling on Facebook to scrap its plan, claiming the image-obsessed platform is dangerous for children's health and privacy. Facebook, which owns Instagram, says Instagram for under 13-year-olds would be managed by parents.
Managed by parents, with tech advice coming from the children, of course.
Yeah, right.
When you call a Dell Technologies advisor, you're talking to someone who isn't waiting for their turn to speak, but who actually wants to hear what you have to say. They're focused on you, ready to give advice on everything from laptops to the cloud, and offer tailored solutions powered by Intel vPro platform to keep your small business ready for what's next. Our advisors listen, so you know your small business needs have been heard. Call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. Thanks for being with us. For years, Dan Schoenthal had in the back of his mind that he wanted to hike the Appalachian Trail. That goal took on a new sense of urgency after he was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease in 2015. He hiked part of the 2,200-mile trail last year, and now, 6 years after his diagnosis, he's aiming to hike the rest. Mr. Schoenthal, who's 56, told CNN while he was stopped near the Tennessee-North Carolina border that when he was diagnosed, his neurologist stressed to him that exercising is arguably more important than his medication. Parkinson's disease is a neurodegenerative disorder that can cause a tremor, slowness of movement, or balance problems. It affects nearly 1 million Americans, but many can still live a full life. There's no cure, but there are medications to help with symptoms. The Appalachian Trail passes through 14 states, as you may know, from Georgia to Maine. Of the thousands each year who attempt to hike the whole trail, only 1 in 4 makes it all the way. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.